The views and opinions expressed by the No Nonsense Show and its hosts do not necessarily reflect views consistent with political correctness or the Verisonics Podcast Network. So to get the show started right, we want to wish any officers of the Sensitivity Police a heartfelt thank you.
I just had to pour one out for my nigga.
I saw that you're pouring another, so you drank yours by yourself?
Yeah, because I was waiting on French Reggie to fix his equipment, and I just couldn't, you know, like, I thought it was going to be a minute, so I just got started early.
Okay.
But, I should just, you know, if we was outside, I'd pour a little bit out for my nigga OJ.
Rest in peace, OJ. Oh, yeah. He died today. So, that sucks.
Is it something, and it's...
How old is he?
76. 76.
Okay.
So, I just wanted to talk about it just a little bit because I was listening to some shit today, and it's like some people don't know how to reconcile his life.
Because of the... The trial part?
Well, because of the Ron, more because of the Nicole and Ron thing. I mean, I guess that ended in trial, but it's more about the beheading of those two people.
Do we all agree he did it? After, now that he's gone, he can't win any more cases for black people.
I don't think he did.
I believe that he did it from the beginning, right? Really? Like, I mean, it was just weird. Okay, his behavior immediately after, right? Like, I mean, the Bruno Mollies. I mean, there was a lot of evidence, right?
Who's Bruno Molly?
Like, his shoes, shoe prints that he, you know, and those are that Spencer shoe. There was a lot of evidence that indicated.
But the glove didn't fit, bro.
Because he didn't take his meds, bro, and he let his hand swell up.
What?
Like, man, that's a great defense team that knew that. Like, listen, don't take your gout medicine or your arthritis medicine. Your hands are going to swell up. This is a blood-soaked glove, so it's kind of like gotten, you know, tight because of it was soaked in some sort of wetness, and now it's shrunk a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't put that on there.
Do you think there are unexplainable crimes?
That ain't one.
Do you think that there are?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's possibility that someone did it and we don't know who they are. They've never come forward, or maybe there was some police involvement. Who knows what she was into or what the other guy was into. Well, there is a possibility that OJ didn't actually do it, though, right?
You are listening to the No Nonsense Show. 10% less bullshit than any other podcast, guaranteed.
Or are you just like 100%?
I'm pretty clear. I'm thinking 100%. Yeah, I'm gonna say 99. I'm gonna say 99.
Hmm. What about you?
I'm gonna go 99.
Were you alive?
I was not alive at all. But I've watched The People versus.
Hold up, you weren't alive in 94.
He was.
I was a baby.
Oh no, yeah, okay. He was just.
Man, I was born at the end of 94 too.
Okay, yeah. So you might not have been alive.
Wait a minute, you weren't born in 94. Yeah, no?
So this was in July, so you weren't born.
Yeah, I wasn't born yet.
You weren't even born yet.
Yeah, it was 30 years, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, for me, like, I was, like, growing up, I thought just like Jamie Mack, oh, he had to do it, but because of what was going on with the racism in America at the time, you know, shit like that. But when I watched The People versus OJ, I remember from one of it, they said that he had no defensive wounds. But the homeboy that died, had like looked like he was in a fight. I was like, well, if he has no defensive wounds,
good point, French.
He didn't do it.
Good point, French. You can't not get beat up when you're killing somebody.
He had nothing.
What?
You can't not get some kind of something. When you're killing two people.
Yeah, he had nothing.
Come on, man.
You don't have to get hit.
He didn't snipe them. He killed the person.
He jumped out the bushes like a real nigga.
I think he saw the murder, but I don't think he did it.
You think he saw the what?
I think he walked like nuts. Witness, my bad, I said the wrong word. I think he came in. I think he, after the killing happened, I think he was the first nigga that came in.
And then why do you think that?
Because the way he panicked, driving on the Bronco, all that.
Listen, again,
wait a minute. No, the Bronco was later. That was a different day, right?
Yeah, it was a different day, but he disappeared immediately.
That's what I'm saying. And then, he panicked.
And then, you know, he disappeared immediately, and then when he reappeared, he was in the Bronco. Like, he couldn't find this nigga. And then when they did find this nigga, he was on the 101 or the 10. I don't remember which one this nigga was fucking just driving.
Here's what I know. There's a lot of stuff that I don't know. And when it comes to... That's what I know. I know that there's a lot of stuff that I don't know.
I was about to say, okay.
And when it comes to those like rich, elite families and stuff, that they got this behind-the-scenes connections going on and stuff, which somehow OJ got himself into, I mean, I think it was just because white people loved him.
White people loved him.
Yeah.
Even Chris.
Yeah. So he was in some crazy circles.
Yeah.
He wasn't in normal black people circles.
No.
So.
He almost didn't consider, he was into the point where he was almost not considering himself black.
Well, he didn't, right.
Yeah, you said I'm OJ.
Right.
Yeah, I'm OJ. Get it. I got it. However, him being tied into all that craziness, it could easily have been some other stuff. They was trying to hem him up for something that he didn't, he wasn't going to go along with or what. Like, there's so many things. And I mean, it'll take a while for us to find out. But I'm sure that within the next 10 or so years, we're going to get it. We're going to know whether or not he actually did it.
I don't think you run. Think
it's written in a diary somewhere?
No. I don't know about that.
I don't think, you think Chloe's going to tell?
I don't think she knows. I think this is above their pay grade.
Well, Chloe, you know that's his daughter, right?
I think that's all above all of their pay grades. I don't think any of them know. Now, maybe Chris.
Right. Chris might know. Because, again, I think they was doing that freaky shit, and that's how you get Chloe. Right? Yeah. Like, I think that's
exactly. Think that's just,
I feel like Chloe would be a little bit blacker.
Bro, have you seen his other kids?
Yeah.
Before she went full, like, plastic surgeon, let me do my Kim Kardashian, you know, by numbers fucking shit, she looked more like an OJ kid.
Because she was tall and big.
Man, fuck tall and big. Look at the whole everything about them. If you looked at OJ's kids, especially the females, she looked like more like their sister than she did Kim and Courtney's.
Yeah. And she is the middle one.
Look at all the characters in their lives. Like, look at the peripherals.
Mama's baby, daddy's baby.
Look at all the peripheral people, right?
Talking about the Kardashians? Or?
All of them. They're just a bunch of weirdos around there. Yeah. So,
I mean, especially,
what kind of things do you think they'll be into like that?
Kato, the house guest.
What do you
guest.
Think, what now?
What kind of things they're into for wanting to have Nicole Death? Murder like that?
No idea. I don't even pretend to know what crazy shit those people are into. Yeah. But they have all kind of rituals and shit that keeps getting exposed with all the different celebrities that keep
it could just be simple out. Jealousy, man. People get jealous and you know, jealous rages.
I guess, but you think that he was just jealous about her with him?
If you think you have ownership, right?
Yeah.
And this is your shit and you are OJ.
Yeah.
You're right? And you losing to a waiter, nigga?
Yeah, okay.
A nigga that's a waiter?
Right, and so you think that OJ, with everything he has to lose, like, you know what? Fuck it all. I'm just going to kill both of them.
Listen.
And with my bare hand. I'm not going to hire nobody. I'm not going to get nobody. I'm going to do it.
Before this ever happened, there was already incidences of fucking domestic violence where they had been called where he had been fucking her up.
Right.
So, he's like, listen, I'll fuck you up. And it went from I'll fuck you up to I'll fuck you and your dude up. Like, if I'm fucking you up and your dude want to step, this little waiter-ass nigga want to step to OJ, like, I will kill both of y'all, like, and not think twice about it.
If that's the truth, then he's weak. But if that's not the truth, which I don't know, there's so many variables that make more sense than somebody getting mad enough to kill his girl and some waiter nigga, like, and you're OJ. That's ridiculous.
Well, the nigga was found liable civilly, right? Like, so I don't know.
That don't mean shit.
I mean,
but the burden of proof in a civil case is so low. It's not the same at all. Criminal cases have to be without, beyond reasonable doubt.
Right.
Civil cases don't require any of that.
All I know too, though, right, is that, okay, if you didn't, the way that this nigga played after he got off.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, that's his ego, though.
That lets me know he didn't do it.
What I'm saying. He's way too braggadocious.
Because that lets me know
he wrote a book called I Didn't Do It, But If I Did or some shit. Come on, man.
Bro, listen, I'm telling you, because you can't double jeopardy.
No one is that oblivious, bro.
If you're this dude, right? Again, I'm OJ, right? This nigga's not even a race. I'm OJ, nigga. Like, I'm above it all. Mm-hmm. I'm that dude. I'm in a fuck, like you said, how he got into the circles he got into. He's different. Like, OJ was that 2,000-yard rusher. You know what I mean? Like, wasn't he like, no. I think Jim Brown was the first one, right?
Probably. Jim Brown came before him.
Yeah, but I don't know if Jim Brown actually got it. But I think he maybe did. But I know OJ did it, right? And OJ was that dude starting at USC, right? So that's he's around an elitist type of company, right? Like, he went to an elitist type college. Then he goes to the NFL, and he's the man.
Right.
Right? And now he's, you know, he's a advertising mogul. We think of niggas like Shaq and these other niggas that pit shit. Now, that was fucking OJ before there was anyone else, as far as the black community was concerned.
Right.
OJ was that dude that crossed over through and everybody loved him. Black people loved him. White people loved him. You know what I mean? He was in the motherfucking Naked Gun shit. Like, this nigga was, he was winning all
and
over.
And so you think that guy who has access to anything he wants is going to be the nigga that puts his hands on somebody? No.
He already did.
Nah.
He was already putting hands on.
No, he wasn't. He was just a beat up nigga. That's not the same thing. That's not the same thing as putting two people down. I don't think a nigga with that much juice, pun intended, kills somebody. He gets somebody killed. You don't have to. The circles you're in, it's a nothing decision. It's a snap of a finger decision. You got enough money. You have exposure to the kinds of people who are in these circles who can make people disappear. You don't kill that person yourself. This ain't about clout. This is about, yo, I want you gone.
See, now you're making me just, I think back and I just wish that the LAPD wasn't as crooked as they
exactly.
are.
Exactly. We'll never know because of them.
Right. Because they fucked up the whole game. Like, they made it so that no one really knows because they wanted to do too much.
And that's why I feel like he didn't do it, because the way he, like Beyonce said, was his ego, that's one thing. But he talks like someone that tried to set him up, and because he won, and now he's just trolling the fuck out of that.
Which is also possible. That'd be funny as fuck. If we found out that somebody did it and tried to pin on him, and his whole life he was dedicated to just trolling those motherfuckers, that's hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, but it's fucked up because, again, like, you know what I mean? Today, nobody wants to talk about his accomplishments, right? Like, it's not...
That's an accomplishment.
he did, before all of that, like I was saying, there's a lot that this motherfucker had done.
Right.
And achieved and was achieving, and who knew where he was gonna go from there until this happened.
So look, you murder two people, right?
Yeah.
First thing you do is hide.
Yep.
Okay. You don't stop hiding, my nigga.
Well, you can't, if you're that nigga, you can't hide forever.
No. After that was all over with, after everything, he didn't hide then either. He didn't stay hidden. Even after he got acquitted and it was all over.
Well, once I get acquitted, where I go? What do I need to hide for? You can't double jeopardy me.
Nah, if you really did it, my nigga, I'm just thinking like a sensible person. Maybe OJ's not.
Nah, but you're not thinking like a sociopath.
If you really
man.
Did it, you're calling him something that he may not be. You're just assuming that he is that.
I'm just saying.
And what I'm saying is, there's no proof that he is. His mental results have not shown he's a sociopath or a megalomaniac or any of that stuff. There's never been a study done on whether or not he's insane or he's a psychopath. So you're just giving him that label. No one else no doctor of the brain has ever said that about OJ.
Well, this is my thing, right? Like, the person that does murk two people is a sociopath, right? Like,
and you don't know that he did.
No, I mean, I don't. I said 99. I said 99%.
You say somebody that murks two people is automatically a sociopath, or killed off rage, like he just got jealous and couldn't control himself.
Again, I think it's the response, right? Like, to it. You know what I mean? It's like the people that can do that shit and then go, you know, have, you know, go to their kid's recital you know what I mean? It's like nothing ever happened, right? Like, they can disassociate themselves from the act.
If you're a very immature person, which I'm sure OJ has the potential of being because of how he grew up and because of how many accolades he got growing up, and he's the man, you're this, you're that, he might be very, very immature. His development may have been arrested at some point, right? So how does a person who's immature react to a false statements or false claims? They go out there and they high sign. They're always showing, hey man, I'm out here partying, I'm jamming. You know, I didn't do this shit, so what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna double down on everything else because I'm immature. Now that makes sense too. I'm not saying that you're wrong and I'm right. I'm just saying the things that you're labeling him as a sociopath for are also true of someone who's immature.
Right.
And who just, I don't know how to react. So instead, I'm not going to go high and everybody thinks I did it because I know I didn't do the shit. I'm going to be out here and be in the streets and making jokes, and I'm going to write a book called If I Did It, I Didn't Do It, But If I Did.
Yeah.
That's just immature though. I don't know if that's a sociopath, because a sociopath would have shown something else, would have done something else. And I don't consider him going to get his shit out that hotel being a sociopathic
thing.
They got him on some dumb shit.
Yeah, no.
Those people deserve to get their fucking ass whooped.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. And I think that's...
They just found a way to get him.
He spent nine years too. Right.
He did 9 years.
They found a way to get him, so they did. That wasn't sociopathic.
No, that was just...
That's the only thing he's ever done after this accusation.
But it is another example of a...
Getting your shit back?
No. Listen, hold up, bro. It's another example of a... anger management issue, like a deficiency. Like, he couldn't control himself, in that moment.
Sounds
right?
like immaturity too.
Right. I get it. Yeah. I get it. But I mean, immature people, like most of the motherfuckers committing crimes, especially murder, are young people. They're immature people.
Maybe some, but yes, but sociopath and immature are different things. A person who commits a murder because they're immature is not the same person who commits a sociopathic murder necessarily. They could be immature and sociopathic.
Right.
But your label of sociopathic is what I'm saying. I don't know that that's actually accurate.
No, it was only his disassociation and kind of like playing with it. Because again, in reality, whether you did it or you didn't do it, that ain't nothing to play with. You don't play like that.
Unless it's you. Because if it's fuck me, then it's fuck you. If y'all really think I did this, then it's fuck y'all. I'm talking about an immature person.
No, now.
We're not talking about a mature. We're talking about an immature person.
I might be more sociopathic than immature. So I don't know if that's a good example. So.
Rest in peace, OJ, though. Shout out to Cam and Mace, though, because I think Cam and Mace on their show, It Is What It Is.
Who?
Cam and Mace.
Cameron and Mace.
Okay.
Yeah.
At first, I thought you were saying Kim.
Oh. OJ was like a consistent guest speaker to talk football, and he provided his football intel on that show. So the last images of OJ was a good one.
Nobody gives a fuck what OJ has to say about football. Sorry.
He was killing it.
When? What was his stats, French?
In football?
Yeah. Tell me what team he played for and what were his stats?
49ers and the Bills.
Okay. No, you went way wrong. Like, yeah, the fact that you said the 49ers.
Right.
Because he's a big 49ers fan.
Maybe he is, but he's a Buffalo Bill by
what people know him by.
Yeah, right. So where are his stats? Give me some of his stats. You don't know, nigga.
I know he broke a lot of rushing records.
Which records?
For the season, Christian McCaffrey just beat it this past season and they didn't want to celebrate it.
So that's one that you saw on TV this year. What other records do you know about besides the one you heard about when you watched the game this year? Exactly, French. Because what I'm saying is nobody really, honestly, and this is honest, in my generation, nobody knows about OJ's football.
Right.
We saw him in the Hertz commercial.
Yep.
And we saw him in Naked Gun.
Yeah.
And then we found out that he potentially murdered two people.
And he was a sideline reporter dude, right? Like
nobody my age knows that.
Yeah, he was a
You NBC. Might have got the tail end of that.
Yeah.
Nobody my age fucking ever saw an OJ game ever.
Yeah. He was the Ahmad Rashad before Ahmad Rashad. He was that guy that was on the sideline talking.
He's saying that shit like people know who Ahmad Rashad is.
No, all I was just saying is niggas definitely don't know.
That's Felicia's husband.
Felicia's husband, right. Nobody knows Ahmad Rashad.
All I was saying is because he played
football too.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. For sure.
All I was saying is because he was on that show. That was the last.
What show?
The Cam and May show.
Okay.
That was the last image of him.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And then he died recently. He died.
I just feel like he was far too vocal and far too out in front.
After doing...
For this to be a shoe, like a, we know he's the murderer. I don't think that that's the behavior of a guilty person. He's out in clubs partying with more white girls.
But that's all after the acquittal.
Nah, I don't care about that.
Like, once you get off, nigga, you're free. They can't come touch you. That's untouchable.
Don't you understand that nobody fucking knew OJ before the trial? Not really. Yes, he was a football player. Yes, he records. But nobody knew about those records. Nobody gave a shit about those records. For some reason, he's like the he's like the underdog of records. Nobody ever said his name prior to the trial.
Right.
That he wasn't a... Nobody thought of him when they're thinking of the great running backs. You know what number on the top five list he would be? Not top five.
Right.
Nobody would have said Juice in the top five when I was young. They wouldn't have. As I got a little older, we're talking about like Emmitt Smith. He's not nothing. He doesn't compare to Emmitt Smith as far as popularity.
Right.
Until you start talking about murder or some crazy shit. And then his name pops up. So my point is that he wasn't that popular.
He was the guy in all the commercials?
Yeah, I don't believe
He was
that.
In one commercial and he was in a movie series. That's how we knew of OJ. And then when we ask our parents, hey, who is that guy? Oh, he was a running back. He played blah, blah, blah.
Nah,
then you might get the
nigga,
story.
No.
My age group did not know OJ like that.
You got to think of that time, too. The popularity thing, it would take a lot.
But again, I think that he had records already. So if anybody that was doing something in sports as far as the NFL at that time, They were chasing that nigga.
Nah, man, wasn't nobody saying his name. They were saying Walter Payton's name. You know,
Walter Payton didn't even have as many yards as him. So listen,
but Walter Payton is looked at as being a better running back than him and through all time.
Right. Okay. At that point,
there are people who put Walter Payton in their top five. Nobody puts OJ in their top five.
Not now because he's a killer.
Then they didn't. Back when I was young, they didn't. In my teens, they didn't. OJ was not a name. He was not a name.
I don't know. Maybe that's out.
Not in football. He was popular.
That could be a regional thing.
The culture knew it. Yeah, that's USC. In Atlanta, nobody fucking said OJ in their top five. Did you know a lot of people that said OJ in their top five when you were growing up? Okay. Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Because, again.
Earl Campbell.
No, Walter Payton. No nigga, fucking way.
I'm talking about what people would say then. Nobody's talking about Earl Campbell anymore.
He was like number two on the all-time rushing list.
But he wasn't number two on anybody's list. Just those lists.
So he just got a record that Christian McCaffrey just now broke last year.
Yeah.
Like this nigga,
how many times have you heard that record brought up on TV before Christian McCaffrey broke it?
They didn't even bring it up because it was an OJ record.
Because he murdered niggas. Yeah. That's why they trying to wash him out of history, my nigga. But before he was that, he was a fucking media darling. Like he was, so again, and I know that you're saying that that's not football, but his football accolades already have spoke for themselves. Like this nigga was the only other nigga besides Jim Brown to have a 2,000-yard rushing record.
On what team? And who gives a fuck about the team?
Okay, the team, right. That's the problem. The team was never successful.
I'm not saying it's his fault. I'm just saying prior to the trial, he wasn't on the tip of everybody's tongue.
Right. Well,
whether you think he was a record getter
he was no different really in that aspect than Barry Sanders.
Exactly.
But niggas still give, everybody still thinks Barry Sanders one of the greatest.
No,
period.
They don't.
Come on.
Niggas be hating on the, like, I don't think that anybody, well, not anybody. I don't think most people give the credit to Barry Sanders. And it's 100% because of the team he was on. And he retired early, and it was like he never won a championship.
But that nigga was, Barry Sanders,
I'm not saying OJ wasn't the man. Remember my argument.
Right.
Nobody called him the man.
So if you were to come to me as a
teenager,
and just as a sports person, right? You want to talk football to me.
Yeah.
And you tell me that you don't think that Barry Sanders is top five running back of all time.
Barry Sanders is absolutely in my top five.
I'm not fucking with you. Right.
He's probably number one.
Right. I'm not fucking with you, right? But, like, I don't even want to hear anything else you got to say about that.
But I've never said OJ was in my top five, and neither have you. You've never said that in your life.
Back then.
In your life, you've never said OJ was in top five.
Back then, he was definitely a top five because there was no Emmitt. There was no Barry.
What year? What are you talking about?
I don't know, like in the fucking early 90s?
I can never prove that, but I don't believe you. I could never prove that you. I can never prove that. Well, I have never once heard OJ in the top, anybody's top five, man. Ever. Not even Ahmad Rashad's.
Hey, man, let's take it. Can we take a shot to OJ? Man?
Yeah, because we got to shout out to OJ, and then we got to talk about the top three.
Yeah.
Now that we got past, he didn't even acknowledge you. That was a personal toast.
He did. He turned his back and everything. Like, what? I'm ready to toast. This nigga turned his back.
He's like, it's on me, King. Golly. Okay, yeah.
Fuck the big three. It's big me.
Yeah, shout out to OJ, man.
Rest in peace.
Big three.
Which big three? Celtics big three? No. Ray Allen, KG?
What you talking about? What you talking about? Kendrick, Drake, and
there's no big three no more. It's just two.
How dare you say that?
Who's the big two?
Hold on.
Drake and Kendrick.
Whoa. So who's your favorite rapper?
Jermaine.
Wow.
Why you call this nigga's government name?
I gotta call him by his government
name.
Why is he
not in the top three anymore?
He put himself out.
But
he did not.
Yes, he did. By apologizing, he put himself out.
See, this is the, you know, and this is the funny thing, man, because it's all you young motherfuckers, right? Is that I've been hearing this shit from everybody that I've heard that is like, oh, that's fucking weak, this, that, and the other, is being a young nigga, right? Like, or a young chick, right? Like, and I'm like, listen. I'm at an age and understanding in my life that you got to do what fucking is about you, right? Like, this is your life. And this is this nigga's life.
I'm going to let you finish.
And this nigga's spirit didn't feel right. Like, he's...
Whose spirit?
J. Cole.
Yeah.
Like, he already said it. Like, even if you listen to 7-Minute Drill, he's like, listen, I'm on some peace shit, but if you want it, nigga, like, I'll give it to you. Like, this is not really what I want to do, but I will do it, and I can do it. Mm-hmm. if you fucking want to, if you want to do it. And I just understand that, you know, peer pressure, right? Like, it happens, man. You know what I mean? It, motherfuckers is egging you on, like, oh, you ain't gonna let that motherfucker talk to you like that, man. Come on, man. You do something. You do something. You gonna let that nigga talk about your girl like that? You gonna let this nigga? And I've seen it many times growing up where that fucking chirping from the auxiliary fucking crowd is what gets motherfuckers amped up to do shit that's outside of their nature.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you right now where Kendrick, I mean, not Kendrick, but where J. Cole is at, is not in beefing in a rap battle against other niggas or tearing down other motherfuckers, you know, accomplishments, right?
And, especially and niggas that he fucks with.
I just think niggas, like black people, I think he's, for the culture, not willing to fucking try to tear us, start this division, right?
Yeah.
And I know because I, you know, there's been rap beasts before, you know, before Biggie and Tupac. But that's the one, right? Like, that's the one that took it well beyond the fucking scope of rap, right? Like, shit started off as fucking, you know, lyrics and ended up with death,
right? Is that, like, the only beef?
Or? No. I mean, fucking Pop Smoke and all these. Niggas been dying recently for a long time now, right? Like, and it's that way. And it gets 0 to 60 real quick, nigga. No pun intended. Yeah. But if you want it to be fucking about just rap, it's never going to be about just rap. Like, because you got to get personal. You start talking. Like, he talked about Kendrick's fucking catalog, like, you know, and said personal shit, right? The fact of the matter is,
he just said he didn't like it.
He called that nigga shit tragic.
Yeah. But that's just subject. That's just an opinion. People can have that.
All of this shit is an opinion.
That's like, what I'm saying. So I don't think that's personal.
That is very personal.
You could say somebody's art is tragic, and the next person says it's the most amazing thing. I don't know,
nigga. The Big Step. I mean, what's the name, man? The Big Steppers.
More on the Big Steppers.
Yeah, that's a dope album to me.
Another person can think it's trash, and that's that other person's opinion.
So this is my thing: is though it doesn't matter when you're going at each other. Whether it's fact or fictional, right? If it sounds good, right?
If it hits,
right? And then niggas is like, ooh, nigga, Tupac maybe never fucked Faith.
Yeah.
But that nigga let off that song, "That's Why I Fucked Your Wife," nigga. It don't matter. It does not fucking matter whether he fucked her or not. He got a picture with her, and that's enough.
So what are you saying? You're saying because he's at a point...
I'm just saying that truth doesn't matter. Like, you're saying, like,
no, oh, I'm saying, you know, about subjective. The J. Cole thing. Like, what are you saying?
I'm just saying that the nigga, I respect that nigga more now, honestly, because the nigga felt he's doing what he knows in himself to be right. Fuck what y'all want. Fuck what you think, right? Like, as a fucking Cole stan. Yeah. Now you calling this nigga number three, right?
He's not part of the numbers.
What do you... Does it mean part of the numbers? Are you saying that his skill just diminished like that?
I'm not saying his skills diminished.
So all of a sudden, he's not on their level. I'll right now, because I've been listening to a lot of J. Cole while I'm on the road. He will kill fuck... I mean, lyrically... Drake and him are not even on
so
the same level.
So why didn't he do it?
What are you talking about?
Why he didn't? Why he didn't step up to the plate? If he'll kill anybody,
he did step up.
And why he renege?
Because he felt bad.
He just told you why. Okay. So let me ask you a question: who are your top five?
Cole, Hove.
Well, no. In order.
J. Cole's my number.
It don't have to be in order.
How you gonna do that?
It don't have to be in order.
I'm gonna explain what I said earlier. But my top five is J. Cole, Jay-Z, Lil Wayne. And Drake, it's a tie. Lil Wayne and Drake share the number three spot.
Mm-hmm.
Number four is Eminem.
No, that's not how this works. Yeah. You can't share a spot and then we jump to the next number.
Right, so that's...
You gotta jump to five.
Yeah.
Because I gotta put Fab, because Fab is in my top five.
Okay, so...
That's why I have a tie.
He got a new one, too.
So Fab is my top.
Jay-Z, Lil Wayne and Drake, and Fabulous.
Yeah.
And that's...
You don't even got Kendrick in that.
So
bitch.
Who is your six gonna be?
Kendrick,
okay. What about you, Mac?
Well,
hold on, I'm sorry. Can I ask why those are your numbers?
For me, those are the rappers that I really listen to. Like, when I'm in the car by myself or if I'm just jamming on my own, it'll probably be one of those five.
And you have a reason for any of them, or you just...
J. Cole, the reason why I like J. Cole the most is because he's the one I can relate to the most.
Okay.
The reason why I love Jay-Z, he's the one that, like... The reason why I even got into listening to rap the way I listened to rap was because of Jay-Z.
Okay.
And then he's just one of the best to ever do it.
Okay.
Lil Wayne, just that era that he had,
was also when I was growing up. So a lot of my adolescence life is with the Lil Wayne soundtrack. So some of my finest memories
during the drought days.
Yeah, all of that. The droughts, the Carters, all of it, right? Mm-hmm. So, J. Cole and Drake too, because they represent my high school and college. But Lil Wayne, when I think of my adolescence, it's a Lil Wayne soundtrack. And Fabulous because of the funeral service.
What about Drake?
Oh, but Fabulous or FAB?
What's the difference?
No, there's Fabulous is, I think, an East Coast dude, right?
Who's FAB then?
That's a Bay Area nigga.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows or cares who that is.
I'm talking about Fabulous.
You talking about Mr. Fab?
Yeah.
I'm talking about
nobody
Fabulous.
Knows that nigga.
Come on, then. How do you know that nigga then?
Because I know a lot.
Okay.
But I'm talking about Fabulous. And the reason why I really like Fabulous is because when he dropped the funeral service, that shit spoke to me. I don't know why, what I was going on in 2010, but that shit was like my world.
Yeah, we see.
Yeah, he did.
The funeral service? Yeah. And then that's before the Soul Tapes. And once he dropped the Soul Tapes, I was like, oh yeah, he's my top five. Now, I don't even talk about albums. I'm just talking mixtapes. But that's why I put Fab as my top five.
Yeah.
You know, where you put Biggie?
I mean, I recognize his importance, but he's not my time. I don't have any.
So you need to have a nigga that's in your time to be like, so I guess, I mean, I don't know, I guess.
For me, because it's more than just the music. Like, it's like, again, like a lot of it is like some of my finest memories, I can link it with these artists.
Okay.
So Biggie was
so
like.
So it's emotional.
Yeah, Biggie, like when I listen to Biggie, I'm like, oh, I see the hype. I get it. But
I mean, nigga, it's only two albums. It's not.
But I see why he is regarded as one of the best. I see it, but it doesn't speak to me the same way as a J. Cole track. Like, I can remember the first time I heard J. Cole.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I remember exactly what I was doing.
Don't even remember the year you heard B, because you had two.
Right.
What sure. about your top five, Mac, and why?
Okay, so I'm gonna say, like, I'm not doing lyricist, right? Like, because if I was just doing lyrically, it would be different than this.
The nigga just asked for your top five.
Listen, my nigga. Well, he did the same thing. He didn't. He put the people that were inspiring them, not necessarily the best.
Right.
So you do whatever you want to do.
Because if it's just
no, just do whatever. You don't have to explain it. Just give me your top five and tell us why.
So number one, obviously, is going to be Tupac.
Okay.
And the reason why is just his reach, his importance to the rap game, and you know. He lyrically, he was not the greatest. Obviously.
Oh no!
But you said the importance.
What's happening? What did you just say?
No!
Hell, what did you just say?
He wasn't the greatest lyrically. Whoa! Like there's. I mean,
that's the first time you said that.
No, lyrically, Eminem's better than him lyrically.
Woo!
Yeah, Eminem's better than most.
No, for real though. Like,
there's two niggas. Eminem's not better.
There might not be. There might not be two.
Yeah,
because
he's killing this nigga today. He's the best, but he's getting killed at the same time.
Rakim.
Okay.
I think that goes back to when, like, he's talking about, like, I grew up on Rakim. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know. That Paid in Full album, I remember, you know, where I was at when I first heard it. You know what I mean? It just spoke to me differently, right? And I know that was before there was a whole East Coast, West Coast thing, right? Like, everything was East Coast, right? Like, if you were into rap,
it was East Coast.
It was coming from the East Coast.
Because even the people who were West Coast, like De La Funk, Homo Sapien, Pharcyde, those guys still had, like, a East Coast, like, lyrical, like, vibe, too.
Right.
So it was like, we're West Coast, but we still recognize that the music is over there. So we're going to try to emulate as much as we can.
That's the birthplace of it, right? Like, it's just where it came from. And so Rakim, you know, that nigga, he brought me up. Like, them motherfuckers, that shit is just, even now when I listen to it, like, I have my son listen to some of that shit. It's just like, yo, this is timeless.
I'm sorry,
like,
Mac, do you know a Rakim song in French?
I don't know it from the top of my heart.
Do you know one? Name one song, any Rakim song that you can. Fuck. Go ahead, Mac.
Yeah, I probably can't think of it.
Yeah, and
God damn.
So three, and I'm gonna probably put, and nobody's gonna like this one. I'm gonna put M in there, nigga. Because
Eminem.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Well, I mean, just shout out to the Reese from Shoot from the Hip Show. He's not gonna like it.
No, him or Montoya's, because they're both racist, and they don't they don't like the fact that he's exploited. Or taking advantage of
his shit.
I mean, again,
if somebody were to say Macklemore, Vanilla Ice, those kind of guys, I can get where you're coming from, because they're really just capitalizing off of the abilities of what has been already put in front of
right.
him. Eminem is different. But
he is. He's definitely different, yeah. right? And I mean, and I'm fucking with him even more now. Like I said, I'd be in a truck and I'd be listening to shit. This sober Eminem,
still
this
nigga, fire.
This nigga that's like different now, like ready to come for niggas' head, these young niggas' heads and all that shit.
Yeah.
His lyrical play is just next level. His mind, the way he puts shit together.
You just find a way to rhyme word with orange, bro. After that, bro, you got to give him everything.
he's just different, right? Okay. Like, so then after that, I'm going to go Kendrick.
Okay.
And
West Coast.
Because Kendrick to me is a artist, right? Like whenever Kendrick puts out something,
yeah.
it's like a
moment.
It's like a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like his albums are like movies. You know right. what I mean? Like he's not just rapping. He's doing a whole experience type
yeah,
shit.
That's
you
what
know?
DJ Khaled said too.
You know, it's like, did he?
He says they make movies.
Yeah, I didn't know. But it's like the Jimi Hendrix. Nah, it's like the Jimi Hendrix experience, right?
It's
like,
weird how you're saying a lot of the words. You're gonna hear when I get to my top five. You're giving me a lot of weird words, which is crazy because I think we're closer than we are far apart. But
you know, like that was one of the things. Like you know, the Jimi Hendrix experience. I fuck with that, right? Like that album, and it's like to me, it was like this is what you're getting when you fuck with Jimmy, right? Mm. And I think that's what you get when you fuck with Kendrick. You get an experience. It's not just lyrics, and it's not just songs, and it may not be some shit that you want to play loud in your car when you bumping around town and shit, you know what I mean, for, you know, attention and shit like that. But if you listen to this nigga, he's different, for sure. So what's that? That's four.
Yep. Oh, damn. You don't even got a five.
I do, man. And
just
it's,
say
and
it.
It's,
just
and,
say it. And I'm going to give you an honorable mention, too.
Okay, so this five, and it's just been recent, man, and he's jumped up into my five. Is J. Cole, man. J. Cole is special. No, J. Cole is special.
No, hold on. You don't get to shake, like, nod your head now.
I'm going
to
tell you why
you
I'm mad at J. Cole.
You took the nigga out of the third. We're going to hear in a second. Wait. Go ahead, man.
Because I've been listening to his whole discography, right?
Yeah.
And he's insightful, and he's not repetitive. Like, he doesn't say a lot of the same. He's always coming with new shit.
Yeah.
And it's about different topics, right? Whether it's fucking, you know, fucking for the first time, or, you know what I mean? It's, again, these are different. It's not just about, like, what I got. You know what I mean? Drake, you listen to Drake, it's talking about money and how, you know, it's the same shit over and over.
Drake.
But he's a hit maker, right? Drake listens, he makes shit that you want to bump and, you know, that you want to jam to or fucking dance in the club to. Fucking Cole plays music that you can fucking listen to and learn something, right? Like, afterwards, you're like, okay. That's some different shit, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, he would be my fifth.
And who's your honorable mention? Because you came up with Kendrick for yours, French.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your honorable mention?
So my honorable mention, and I don't even, it's hard to say this because I
nigga.
Lil Wayne.
Okay. Lil Wayne.
Yeah, that's not hard. What's hard? Why
Lil
is that
Wayne.
Hard?
No, because again, Lil Wayne is low-key just, he don't be saying shit. Like his lyrics is cool and his songs are cool.
Bunch of punchlines with words in between them.
Right, right. But the fact that he's able to put this shit together.
You're talking about he's lacking substance?
Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of substance to it.
He don't really stay on topic either.
Right. And I think maybe that attracts my ADD nature. Like, we can just get all over. But again, I think that's the same thing with M. M is fucking all over the place. And to me, for M, it's the shit that I've always liked about Eminem is that shit he does in the background.
Yeah.
Like the fucking sound effects, the fucking shit that goes along with the song to enhance it, mm-hmm. that you don't, you know, he may say, talk about a scene, but then he's doing shit in the background that represents the scene and it just kind of brings it even more into focus.
Right.
So that would be my six.
So my top five, I can't put it in order because it's different. You'll see why in a second. I'm not looking for necessarily, like you were saying, lyricist. I'm not necessarily looking for lyricists. However, there is a requirement for the people who are in my top five to have a certain level of lyrical ability.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they have to be up to a certain level.
Now, this is why this, you're going to omit my nigga.
No, hold on. Okay. And this is why my honorable mention is the only one that's not really lyrical necessarily. Okay. And again, no order. I'm going to start with Jay-Z. The reason why Jay-Z is in my top five is because not only did he have 11 plus number one albums, beating the Beatles for number one albums, who else has done that? All these niggas, y'all names, y'all saying, they can't do that.
Drake ain't got that?
Drake hasn't dropped 10 albums yet.
Okay.
So
if he does.
So Jay-Z got number one albums. He got hits out his ass. But he was also able to change the game as far as branding and business goes, right? So I think that most people would consider Jay-Z to be probably the most successful rapper turned anything. I don't know. Maybe y'all disagree.
No.
But yeah. I think that he's definitely in the argument.
Yeah.
And therefore, because of that influence that he's made and because of how he changed the game in a way, he gets on my list, right?
Mm-hmm. Why he's so fame?
Next, we're going to go with Tupac. Tupac is by far the most impactful human being that has ever rapped on anything. Okay. There is not anyone, there's no one else who has been a rapper, even for a short period of time, who has been more impactful than Tupac. And that goes to attitude, personality, rapping, whatever you, what.
J.D. Mack's about to bust a nut. No. So excited.
No. It just made me think of, I overshot my honorable mention. I don't want Lil Wayne as my honorable mention. So just go though.
You want to go back? Want to step back and give you your honorable mention again?
Yeah.
Okay, who we got?
DMX.
DMX. Oh, okay.
DMX is my honorable mention because of that That's fair.
Attitude.
The kind of what you were just explaining. Like this nigga, I remember that summer. You know, when that nigga dropped three.
Two albums. Two, right?
It was three. Okay. Yeah, it was three, like in a year.
Yeah.
And nobody did that. And again, I think when we talked about it before, about people doing gospel rap. Like, he was that dude, too. Like, he has a whole song, like, you know what I mean? Like, Lord, give me a sign. Like, I mean, he's got where, and I know that none of you niggas really fuck with all of that. But I think that he was able to bridge that street shit to some other shit, right? To a spiritual thing, right? Like to say, listen, you can act like you don't fucking give a fuck and you don't understand it, you know, connect with the creator and all that shit, but I do. And I'm still this nigga though, right? Like I'm still this nigga. And how can I not when I put him in there when, again, we soul tied on that. If it's fuck me, then you know it's fuck you.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I got to put DMX in.
Okay. So back to my list, I'll just say Jay-Z was number one because of his influence and branding, et cetera, and becoming he's not a businessman, he's a businessman. That's true.
Yeah.
He's
444?
And he's the epitome of the shit.
Like, you know? Like when he hit 444, I was like, I mean, again, that's later, but right. 444 is like
he completes everything.
He's spitting so much game in that motherfucking song. It's just like, yo.
Right. So that's why he's in the top five. Tupac, of course, like, I mean, you know, acting, rapping, poetry, impact, just period, just personality. Even if I don't agree with some of the things that he has brought on the industry and brought on black people, you can't deny his influence and his impact in the industry. So he's in the top five as well.
You was out here when he was shooting off-duty security guards and shit, huh?
I believe I was overseas then, okay. But yeah. Okay, so... That's what, two?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
Eminem has the ability to put together 4 and 5 syllable words and rhyme them.
Right.
Like, I'm orange.
Well, but I'm saying, but 4 syllables, like he'll do a phrase that has 4 sounds in it.
Right.
And he'll match those same 4 sounds for the rest of the verse.
Right. Yeah.
That's not easy, bro.
No.
4 syllable rhymes is not easy. You know, 5 syllable rhymes, that's not, no one else can do that.
Yeah.
And to have sold as many records as he has, obviously there's a feat there. So you might be seeing a trend in my top five is how people that change the game in a way, or not necessarily moneymakers, but just change. Like Tupac wasn't a moneymaker. Where they I think he sold only 5 million albums while he was alive.
Right,
he sold
a lot after he
died. Way more, like probably 5 times more after he's dead. So that's what I'm saying. The impact is there. Like obviously this nigga only sold 5 million alive and 20 plus dead. So there's impact there. That's why he's a top five for me. And Eminem is the same. There's no one else who can do that. There's no one else who can do what Tupac did, and there's no one else who can do what Jay-Z did. Even Kanye, who is not even close in my eyes, because Kanye wasn't able to tie all of it together, whereas Jay-Z has figured out how to tie all of it together.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And quote-unquote, the best chick in the game wearing his chain too. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He's tied so much together. There's not another Jay-Z. There will never be. Right. There's not another Tupac. There will never be.
Right.
There's not another Eminem. There probably will never be. Right?
There'll never be.
So the next one is Andre 3000, and what's crazy about this is you said a couple of things in there. I feel like the reason why Andre is in that list is because he's more Jimi Hendrix than Rakim, but he's both.
Right.
You think he got enough though,
nigga? What I just say? Listen to the names I said. He's more Jimi Hendrix than Rakim, but he's both.
Right.
So imagine if you got Rakim and Jay and Jimi Hendrix had a baby.
Right.
That's Andre.
Yeah.
And there's no one who can do what he does. What's the question you asked? Is he not enough? What'd you say?
Does he have enough?
I don't know. What? As far as albums? I thought we were talking about the top five people.
Yeah, but the reason why I asked that question, because I respect that, but when people want to knock Andre, it's because they say he don't got enough, because he never was a solo
act. I don't pick any of Tupac's albums other than Me All Against Eyes the World and All Eyes on Me. Yeah. The other albums don't matter. So we're talking about two albums from Tupac.
All right, cool. I'm with you. Yeah. I'm just saying, most people, when they want to knock Andre's because they say he was in a
Tupac
group.
Tupac Now, nigga.
He doesn't have it. Wasn't a
good
album.
It was a good album.
I Get Around and Strictly From... What? No. What was this, what were the songs?
Strictly From My Niggas, nigga.
No, Strictly From My Niggas was the album.
I know, but he still had a...
What album did you say?
Tupacalypse Now.
That wasn't the same album. Tupacalypse Now had Brent had a baby on it.
Right.
And not a good album.
Soldier Story.
That wasn't a good album.
Come on, bro.
Man, you know that wasn't a good album. Bro, it was okay. Nobody's rapping those songs anymore. They don't play those songs. When's the last time you played a song from Strictly For My Niggas or
Tupacalypse Now?
When's the last time you played any of those songs? Stop it. You're lying. You know you didn't. Me Against the World, All Eyes on Me, and Forward.
Yeah.
Nobody fucks with those first couple of albums when he was still really technically East Coast-ish.
Yeah,
he wasn't thugging it yet.
Right. the only song I liked from back then I Get Around, and the one he did with MC Breed. Got to get mine. You got to get yours.
That shit was a hitter, bro.
So you were saying three stacks because
get
of
yours.
Jimi Hendrix and Rakim.
Because he's that like influence. How many rappers you know that are Jimi Hendrix and Rakim?
None.
Rakim got lyrics. Jimi Hendrix is creative as fuck.
Right.
And he would not go with the grain. Jimi Hendrix would not go with the grain. He always did shit different, and it's just you just accepted
from
it or you
wiring
didn't.
his fucking guitar backwards,
upside down. Yeah, because he's left-handed.
Right.
Everything is like just totally different. So Andre is that though, and there's no one else who can do that. There's not another person as weird as because there's a fine line. I remember telling artists back in the day when I was working in that field was like your job as a rapper, especially now, and this was during the drought period.
Go away.
Yeah. Your objective now is to be different enough to where you stand out from the crowd, but not so different that nobody fucks with you. Mm. Andre is so close to that line to where people don't fuck with him, but he's right on the inside of it. And that's crazy talent. To be right there at the cusp where niggas is looking at you like, yo, this nigga got on furry leg warmers and shoulder pads. But yo, that verse was fire.
But he dropped like a year or two ago on the Kanye's Deluxe album. Life of the Party. That's probably one of the best verses I've heard
it too. I don't think it came out though, right? That wasn't released.
You can hear it.
Yeah, you can look it up, but it wasn't released. He did that shit on that Erykah Badu album. He killed that verse.
Yeah.
I heard a verse the other day he killed. I don't remember.
What the Walk It Out remix verse.
He's just different, right? And there's nobody else who can do it. So whether or not you say he doesn't have enough, I don't give a shit about that. This isn't about that. And five. This person has always been somebody that I respected because I feel like first of all, he has an incredible voice, but he has the ability to tie so much emotion into his rap that you don't have to even know the story he's talking about. But when you hear him rap, the emotion that he's able to put into the song, his voice just has that, right? He recently did a Tiny Desk concert. And killed it. It was amazing.
Oh, I know who.
It was amazing.
I know who.
He couldn't even fucking get his mouth to the mic most of the time. He kept looking around the room, fucking up the mic, because the mic was a directional mic that was pointed at his face, and he kept looking around, so you couldn't even hear half his lyrics, but he was so into it that you had to watch it. And if you watch it, you're like, oh my God, this nigga's crazy. Then, fast forward to maybe a week ago, I saw a Beanie Siegel clip where he's talking to Dialogue of Rap. Or whatever, one of those little rap interview shows. And he says, yo, I got this crazy story. He was one of my favorite rappers already, so I wanted to get him on some records. But I had this crazy story for when we were in the studio recording Somehow, Someway. Jay-Z did his verse. I got in the booth. I did my verse. Scarface walks in halfway through my verse, and as he's walking in, he gets a phone call that his homeboy's son had got murdered. And so he's distraught. He shut the studio session down. They thought they weren't going to get to record the second song, which was It Can't Be Life. Y'all know that record?
Yeah.
Right? So he says, they get a call that evening in Scarface saying, hey, man, I want to come in. Let's finish the song. So they come in. Jay-Z does his verse. Beanie does his verse. Scarface gets in the booth and fucking raps about the situation that happened earlier. So listen to that. This Can't Be Life verse again. You're going to hear the emotion in his voice. He's almost crying in some parts, right? He raps about hearing earlier today. I got a call walking into the studio due to the song with Jig. Got a phone call from one of my niggas saying his son got killed or whatever.
Right.
And he's rapping the entire event from when he walked in earlier to how he feels about it, et cetera. And so Beanie was like, yo, this nigga is, this just, it's nuts how talented he is. And I mean, I've always known it. But hearing that just solidified this dude to my top five, because go back and listen to that verse now.
Yeah.
Now that you know that that happened earlier the day before he recorded that shit.
Right.
And there's a part where he's like, you know, I had to call my wife and give her the bad news because Brad's too, talking about his son. So he's seeing this other friend's son get murdered. He's talking about in this verse how he had to call his wife and give her the bad news because their son is young too. And then he goes on further to my, I could have talked about my own hard times in this song, but that would have been, God knows that would have been wrong. It wouldn't have been right. It wouldn't have been life. It wouldn't have been love. It whatever.
Yeah.
Like, this nigga is just, his ability to put that emotion into it. And then on top of that, his voice is crazy. His voice is sick.
Yeah.
There was a podcast. Actually, the podcast that influenced me to want a podcast, which was Combat Jack Show. I don't know if y'all remember that show.
Yeah, I know Combat Jack.
Combat Jack was
in peace too.
Yeah, he was an attorney in the industry.
Named Reggie too.
Yeah. And
all Reggie's are real niggas.
And I don't know about that. And he had Scarface on there one day, and Scarface was talking about when he did Never Seen a Man Cry Till I Seen a Man Die or whatever.
Right.
He said he wrote that song high on acid, and he recorded it high on something else. And just like the ability for him to write crazy shit and see it and then also get in a booth and make that shit come to life, Scarface is definitely number five. Hands down, you can't get him off the list. I don't care what you say.
Yeah, no. You brought me to a different place because I remember, again, the Ghetto Boys, again, were a arc in my life. Like,
right.
I mean, listening to them niggas doing shit, like living wild, the Ghetto Boys were all that. And, I mean, and he was the chief of them.
Sure. You know what I mean? He was like, the best rapper of them.
I mean, he was the one.
Bushwick wasn't really a rapper.
Yeah.
He was kind of just like,
you know what I mean? Like,
well, Big Mike came later. Right. It was Willie D.
Right.
There was another nigga. I can't remember his name, though.
Well, so it was
before all that. Back before they changed it.
So right, it was no the ones. The original was Willie D, Scarface, and Bushwick, and neither one.
No, it was another guy. They got kicked out of the group or something before they got popular.
Before Willie D.
Willie D was there too.
Okay,
I can't remember the story. I watched a lot of interviews.
Yeah,
because
there was four of them. You're right. There was four of them. I remember the album.
I don't
cover
remember
now.
The nigga's name.
Yeah,
but anyway, so yeah, that's my five. My honorable mention, and this is going to be crazy too. I've mentioned this guy before, though. Master P, hands down, changed the game. There can be no one who replaces him or comes after him. I will put a caveat in that, though. He learned his game from your boy.
E-40.
So I have to give them both credit as my honorable mention. But it's really Master P. E-40 did it, but he didn't make it possible for everybody else.
Right.
Master P did it in a way that everybody could understand, and it completely changed the landscape of how Soulja Boy got on.
Right.
Everybody got on based off of a Master P.
The fact that
blueprint.
You mentioned Master P, let me ask y'all a question because y'all was alive. Master P. When y'all was alive during that time, who's more impactful in Snoop Dogg's career, Suge or Master P?
Suge. Yeah.
That Master P era with Snoop was just to get away from Suge.
Yeah, nobody really liked those records. Oh,
okay. No.
There weren't a lot of records that came out.
Because when Snoop talks, he gives a lot of love to
Master
P.
Nah, but that's because Master P is the shit. That's what I'm trying to
Master
get at.
Master P got him out of that Suge.
All
right?
The
he,
way
he,
out.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
He got him away from Suge, right? Like, he let him escape and be him.
He was basically telling him, hey, man, I know they're telling you this, but listen to what I'm telling you. You can do this without them. And he showed him how to do it. And even though those Dogfather album or whatever, that shit was terrible.
Right.
It was the beginning of Snoop's real career.
Yeah.
Prior to that, he was a puppet. Not necessarily a puppet, but he was doing what he was supposed to do to fit into that thing.
He wasn't the real Suge because, again, he never talked that
Snoop.
Real Snoop. He never talked that Crip shit. Like, he never was. And not to say that you have to, but he was suppressed for sure. He wasn't full Snoop.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think his whole career changed. He started doing other shit. When he got with Master P and learned the real game, he started having TV shows. He started making sensual seduction type records. It opened up his entire pathway. He didn't have to be the murder was the case that they gave me nigga anymore.
Right.
He could be a nigga that's singing to you, beautiful. That's like that. Look at the records, the difference in the records after he got done with the little Master P time period, because that was really bad. It was bad music.
Yeah.
But as soon as he got free from that, Master P gave him the keys to the game.
Gotcha.
And that's what I'm saying. You can't replace that dude. Yeah. None of the people that I put in my top five are replaceable. And my honorable mention, I don't think is replaceable either. But I do give the caveat that since he learned the game from the Bay Area, we got to give credit to E-40 and Too Short and all them niggas.
And what's really funny is that that's where I really got on to Master P, right? Like, I mean, he was the ice cream man to me. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I was introduced to Master P.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Out of No Limit Soldier toy.
No. He was before No Limit. Before No Limit.
This is Bay Area.
This nigga was a Bay Area nigga. Like, I didn't know him to be no Southern nigga. You know what I mean? Like, this nigga's, you know, ice cream, what's the ice cream man? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that, dun-dun-dun-dun. And it was just smacking. Like, it was very West Coast. Like, and it felt... like sourced, like he was one of us for sure, it felt like. And then when you find out, like, oh, this nigga not even from here, like, this nigga is really from, you know, the South, but he came out here and just did his thing, and you know, again, he was the ice cream man to me. He wasn't Master P at all.
Yeah. So here's my argument. Now this is where we're gonna fight.
All right,
so I've given you my five, y'all give me your five. The reason why neither Kendrick nor J. Cole can be in the top five based off my criteria is that they don't change anything. They're not changers. They're not disruptors.
Do you think the game is at an age where you will find people that will be able to change it again?
All those people, like those, all those five people, six people did.
I'm saying, I literally asked, do you think now, at the 50 years in hip hop now, do you think new rappers will be able to come and change it? That's what I'm saying.
Teddy Swims changed country.
I don't know. I don't know if you can't say that about Kendrick. This nigga got a Pulitzer. You know what I mean? Like,
doesn't mean he changed the game.
Nah, go ahead. What does that mean?
What did he
get a Pulitzer for?
Damn.
No. What did he get it for? Don't tell me what record. What was the reason he got the Pulitzer?
It was for like literature. It was like an art thing.
What does the Pulitzer recognize? You don't even know.
It's American writing.
Yeah, but what does it recognize? Don't say American writing, because everybody, there's a lot of American writers. It has to be something else in American writing. Like, don't call out Pulitzer if you don't even know what it's for.
I know that you have to be American to do it. Hold up. Real quick, the only reason I know that is shout out to Monk, nigga. I've been watching Monk, and this nigga, this Australian nigga said he won a Pulitzer, and Monk was like, nah, nigga, that's an American award. Like, this nigga can't write no Australian a fucking... published fucking content and win a Pulitzer. Like, this is only for us, nigga. Right. Like, I don't know. And Monk, I know this is different. I know, but I don't know if y'all ever fuck with that show.
That detective show?
Yeah,
I've watched it.
I feel like I got a lot of Monk in me. I'm not as bad as him.
He's like autistic or something.
OCD.
He's not autistic. He's just germaphobe, right? He's got some issues, you know what I mean? Like, where, you know, shit fucks with him differently.
Right, like Larry David?
Yeah, but he's way extra. Like, he needs a nurse to keep him, you know, from going over the edge. Like, he can't look at some shit. Like, sometimes how I can't, like, I'll get taken off topic, and then you're like, come on back. And I'm like, I can't. Like, this is bothering me, right? Like, I got to go over here. He's like that to the upteenth degree. Like, he's like, oh, your fucking socks don't match. Like, this is bothering me. Or your tie is a little bit crooked, or, you know, whatever. Some your bouquet, these one flower's higher than the next. Like, there's all this shit that fucks with him. But Monk is my nigga. Like, I relate. I could feel, just not to the extent. But anyways, that's the only reason why I know Polish is an American shit.
Okay.
But he still didn't change shit, though. Like, be honest, just saying.
Who then?
Kendrick.
What does he change? What cannot be replaced about him? I think that there are other artists that can do what he does. Not necessarily on his level, but I think that it's possible to recreate who Kendrick is.
I mean, I subscribe to that idea. I don't think we'll ever be able to see a rapper like the fives that he mentioned to change the game anymore.
I don't think
they'll even allow a rapper.
Well,
to
I don't
do
know
that
how
anymore.
J. Cole could. What could J. Cole
There's
do?
There's nothing. What can you do now to change the game?
But that's because he's kind of boring.
He's not. He's not.
Can I talk about where I'm at?
What do you mean?
You kicked him out. Like you for a J. Cole stan.
Yes.
You came out real like.
Yeah.
And then you got nerve to talk about his fucking apology. Like, you flipped. Like, you're turning on him is worse than his apology.
Why?
Because, nigga, like, you've been standing up for this nigga.
That's
going
why
to his
I'm
concert.
Mad.
Going to his concerts,
yes.
Fucking camping out,
yes.
You know, fucking doing all of this shit, and then you gonna be like, he not one of the top.
Yeah, because he let me down.
How did he let you down?
J. Cole, for the last 15 years, especially the last 5 years, pretty much every track is like, I'm ready for the smoke. I'm ready. Whoever wants to challenge me, come. The challenge happened. You gave a little jab, and then you just, now your feelings are bad?
Listen.
You've been asking for this moment your whole career.
Niggas,
and then, can, and then I said, J. Cole, hold on. This is okay. Why I'm really mad. I've been a J. Cole fan from the, when your name was Therapist. Well, you didn't even call yourself J. Cole. When you was on a mixtape with B.O.B. called May 25th. That's how long I've been on J. Cole. And the whole pause.
Yeah. We go ahead.
And then as a J. Cole fan, especially in the beginning of his career, what was his critique? Like, be honest, just say he's boring. He makes sleepy music. And as a fan, I had to be the nigga in the cafeteria room. Was like, nah, nigga, this nigga's the best. This nigga's the that. And then for 15 years, all your fans have been defending you. And the moment you could shut everybody up, you prove everybody right by calling you boring and sleepy.
Why? How? He wasn't. That 7-minute drill, I ain't gonna lie, that shit smacked.
That shit smacks, but you reneged. The moment you take it back, we can't.
A lot of people were saying that he stopped because he felt like people were criticizing his verse is not as good as Kendrick's. I didn't think the Kendrick verse was all that great. And it was also buried in a song with Future.
And also, too, I think this was the first round. You didn't have to give your best yet. So who cares if
he already said it wasn't. He said it was just a little warning shot, nigga. So,
I think this is what I really think. To what you said, I respect the maturity, the humility. Cool. Like, as a grown man, as an adult male, I respect that. But the sport, I can't respect it for the sake of the sport. Like I told you, I battle Nathan Nice and I don't even rap. Like, when it comes to the sport, you cannot back down. Imagine if LeBron was like, oh, I got to face Curry. No, that's my nigga. I went to go watch him play in college in Davidson. He went to my camp. I can't go dunk on him.
It's not the same.
It ain't. So this is.
Why is it not the same? Because this is a sport. We're talking about sport.
But we're not talking about sport because we're talking about real life, because you guys have made rappers say that they're authentic, right?
Right.
You guys have made them prove their authenticity. Mm-hmm. So then when we start talking about smacking niggas and
you think Cole and Kendrick would have really went that far?
Nah, but what about the peripheral? What about the niggas in LA that only ride for Kendrick? And when he gets out and does a concert, what do you think about them?
Right.
Check in, nigga. Oh, you ain't. Even when you try to come check in, they gonna do you. Like, oh, you think you better than us?
So, and when I was talking about niggas, that's what we came to. Is like the niggas, like we were saying, like the niggas in the payroll, like the 14 nigga on the payroll might get shot or a fan might do. But my thing is,
I don't care about that though. That's not the point I want to make. The point I wanted to make was, I feel like we have to give people the ability to move through their experiences their own way.
Okay.
Here's the problem with what everybody's saying. You guys are not taking into account that he's telling you, I got what you guys got. I got those feelings. I felt like I needed to respond. I felt like it was my time to say something and to show y'all that I'm that nigga, right? But immediately, I tasted it, and I don't like the taste. Mm. So those past 15 years that you're talking about, I've been ribbing this shit up, I hadn't tasted it yet. I beef with Diggy Simmons or what, like stupid shit like that. Yeah. That was nothing because it was obviously comedy,
Preach.
Right?
Yeah.
But now that I've gotten into a real beef, a real battle, I'm floored by how overwhelming it is. I had no idea it was going to feel like this, but I tasted it and it's disgusting. And look, and not even the people that are criticizing me, the people that are ripping me up, I don't even like that feeling. I don't like niggas that's like, yo, you smashed him. Keep smashing him. I don't even want that energy surrounding me because that's not the type of nigga that I am. And I didn't know that prior to me biting off a piece. But now that I bit off a piece, I'm like, damn, bro, what is my role in hating black men? What is my role in making kids? Because there are some people who aren't like you, right? Who don't have their mind on straight and don't have their senses in place, right? So to you, you can listen to that rap and be like, oh, that's just a rap. That's just something else, right? But there are people who are younger than you who look to J. Cole for how they live, how they walk, how they talk, how they do everything. And for them to see the guy that they've been looking up to all these years, who's quote unquote a positive, conscious, more conscious rapper, now fall to the beef thing and now he's throwing shots at other rappers and other black men trying to tear them down for whatever reason. They're like, now you validated what all these rest of these niggas been trying to say. I need to beef more. I need to be more aggressive. I need to be all these things. He took a bite of that shit and started getting the other side of it. People started congratulating him on doing that, nigga. He's like, whoa, that's my homie. Yeah. I'm not trying to do him. This is fun. It didn't feel fun to him anymore. So he recognized that and says, hey, y'all, look, but I know it's only been a day or two,
But what I really feel horrible about, like I have a great album, except for that one track.
Yeah, yeah.
I really feel bad about that one track. Let me tell you why. I'm not that guy. Now, you might have wanted me to be that guy. There might have been a time when I wanted to be that guy myself.
Mm-hmm.
You guys didn't help me by ribbing, but I'm not blaming y'all for ribbing me up. I get it. I was part of it. I got caught up in it. But now that I've done it, I don't like any of the shit that I've gotten that's come to me after I did that.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually a lesson to all these knucklehead-ass niggas that go out and do crimes and do dirt and do their homeboys dirty and do everybody do shit dirty. There's another side to that. There's a if you kill somebody, you're going to see that face. Don't let these hard niggas tell you a fucking lie.
Oh, yeah.
You kill a nigga, you're going to see that face forever.
Ever.
Yeah. Forever. It never stops.
You talking about how you kill somebody?
No, I'm just saying. So this is because you brought it up, and I was going to mention it, right?
Bring it up.
You brought up the fact that he had been talking this shit, like, come with it, you know, I'm about to do this, and, you know, I'm ready
but
for this.
But you said, I'm trying to revive a sports that's dying.
Hold
on, though.
Hold up. So when you could, right, like, you could talk out of that shit, right? And the motherfuckers talk about what they'll do, right? Like, if a nigga run up on me, nigga, I'll smoke a nigga, right? You nigga do this to me, you know what I mean? I'll smoke a nigga, right? Until you actually smoke a nigga, right? And then it's like, yo. It feels and it hits a little bit differently now that it's fucking reality and I actually did smoke a nigga. I don't like that, you know what I mean?
I'm with you. I just, knowing them two specifically, if it was Cole versus YG or any other rapper, I would think violence could possibly happen. But between him and Kendrick, I just wouldn't think it would ever get violent. The only thing that I, like, once I, like, can't calm down, I was like, you know what? To really win this battle, it won't be like my metaphor was better than your metaphor. It will never be that. It would have to be a personal shot.
It would never happen. Because there are always going to be Kendrick fans like, nah, Kendrick won.
And yeah, true, but I'm just saying, it would have to be a personal shot.
What's the, other than for
you?
Well,
you're going to start talking about baby mamas. You know,
and that's the thing, and you and can't.
What are we doing?
Outside of your taste, your personal taste that the sport was hurt,
yeah.
What's the upside for J. Cole?
For not doing it?
No. What's the upside in the entire thing?
So in the beef.
He sent a record. What's his upside in this beef?
If they did do it?
They did do it.
Yeah.
What's his upside?
What's he gained from doing it?
What's the upside?
You could have possibly, depending on how Kendrick responded, you could have possibly be crowned the number one out of the
B3. But you told me, this is what you told me and Matt a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
J. Cole's not really trying to do that. He's got his fan base and they're loyal.
Yes.
And they come to Dreamville every year. He doesn't want any of that
shit.
But
the moment you put that song out, you stepped in the ring.
And he realized that, oh, my fans are coming to Dreamville anyway. So I'm at Dreamville.
Yeah.
I'm gonna let my fans know I did wrong.
And the thing, okay, cool. But this is my thing. You just named five rappers.
Mm-hmm.
All of them were battle tested.
Okay. I guess.
I feel like
I don't know who Andre battled with. I don't know.
Right.
Who,
Andre's the only one. But
I don't know if
I don't know if Rakim battled niggas. You know what I mean? He was just recognized.
But you see what I'm trying to say? Like
most,
when we think of some of the top rappers, they've all went through the battle tested phase. Hov went through it. They've went through it. I think that's part of it.
I think what now is more than battling is the features, right? Like when you put a nigga on your feature.
Yeah, and then you see that with Cypher too.
If he kills the song more than you, right?
Yeah, like yeah, then yeah. I mean, and like, that's what J. Cole was doing.
Right.
So anybody's song, you'll fuck you up.
So then again, I don't you say battle tested. I think he's already proved his worth or his metal in that instance. Like you put us side by side, watch what I do. Like this is your verse, my nigga, and then watch what I do.
So what about the thing is, so this is the part that really makes me sad about the apology. Again, the maturity thing, I get it, is anytime you're at the barbershop or you're talking and you bring J. Cole's name and you say he's the best, he's the that, all a nigga got to say he was scared of Kendrick. And you can't have no comeback for that.
He's not, but see, again, that's
it doesn't
me,
matter. The narrative is there. It doesn't matter. Everything is based on narrative. Whether it's true or not, the narrative runs the story.
Okay.
That
so
is
again,
the fact. It doesn't matter.
Again, and I think that you can succumb to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you can be above that.
Of course. And but I again, that, when you go to the barbershop and talk, niggas are going to succumb. But niggas again, are not going to be above that.
So again, so...
And as you, a fan, so you put me in a tough predicament.
So again, you can lower yourself, right? You can lower yourself to that fucking low-hanging fruit and succumb to that, right? Because, or you can be more elevated and understand that it's bigger than that, right? Like,
true.
It's not...
So but again, as a fan... When
you can't
fan,
save everybody.
When
so
the
these
fan goes to the barbershop, they can't say shit the moment the nigga says that.
But a nigga wasn't... So again, I don't see it as being afraid, and that's that weak shit to me. That's that weak shit. It's not his apology that's weak. It's that weak fucking mentality that says, oh, he was afraid of Kendrick. No, my nigga. You know how much strength it took for that nigga to sit up there and say that? It wasn't about being afraid of this nigga and afraid of what Kendrick was, his response was going to be. I have zero. Like, if I was 99% on OJ, I'm fucking a zero or a, I mean, like, let's put it 100%. I'm 100% that Cole was afraid of the retaliation. It had more to do with him.
Yeah, he said it. He said, it's in my spirit.
More to do with him than fucking worrying about the bars that were about to come back at him. Yeah. So anybody that goes, oh, well, he was afraid of Kendrick, that to me, you don't, again, that's just like you telling me that fucking Barry Sanders ain't even a fucking top running back. You just don't understand rap. You just don't understand. You're a low-hanging surface-level nigga.
No, low vibration.
You're right. You're just a surface level motherfucker that don't get it.
But
I'm not here to fucking try. You can't save everybody. And I'm not going to argue with you about it because, again, you have your opinion and do you.
But from the J. Cole fan, the reason why I said he let the fans down, because we've been defending you
them
the last 15
years. Them niggas was cheering.
I feel like he held y'all up.
Yeah.
I feel like he made y'all have something to be proud about.
He did.
No, what, nigga? You can't be bold.
Man, you
can't. No, what I'm saying, his music did make us proud.
His statement is something that you should be holding up. Y'all should be carrying this dude's flag right now.
This is the problem, though. I see what you're saying. The mature thing, I get it. But I'm simply talking about when the fans come and have a conversation about rap.
And I'm talking about the fans, when they have a conversation about rap, they should be like, yo, y'all tripping. My nigga did his thing. Y'all don't recognize the value that he provided to the community, to the culture. All y'all want to see is fucking reality TV. And if that's what y'all want to see, watch reality TV. There's nothing admirable about being in a beef. There's nothing sporty about being in a beef. It's not the same as going on the court and LeBron and Steph playing, because LeBron and Steph, first of all, are going to make millions of dollars off that game, and they're going to be able to, once they're done, walk away from that shit and come back another day. Rap is not that way. Offset is dead. King Von is dead.
Takeoff.
That's what I meant. Yeah. Name a O-Block nigga that's not dead or shot more than once. That's not fun.
Nipsey, that shit
ain't fun, nigga. And you keep saying, well, Kendrick and Cole wouldn't get there, but they would have said that about some other people too. Who knew Amigo would get killed?
Yeah, and that Amigo got killed off random. It wasn't.
But
like,
it doesn't.
If you say so,
right?
Well, yeah.
So this is, and then the thing about it too, right? Like, is you keep, you know,
me, I'm simply
he represented, right? 7 Minute Drill. Okay, just on that, what did you think about that?
I love it. I said it was a perfect jab.
Okay, again. So, again, he did. He exhibited what his capabilities were.
Which is the reason why, as the fans, was like, oh, we can get more.
Yeah, but the problem here is that you guys...
You're the fucking crowd in the fucking Roman arena. Nigga. You just want blood.
You
want
to see the Christians die.
Right, you just
want to
see a motherfucker get eaten by a lion.
I wanted him to be the undisputed champion.
Do you know why they did the Coliseum games? Why they did the games?
To distract us?
No, but us.
To distract the day-to-day people.
Well, the Roman Empire, whenever they started falling apart and there were starting to be situations where people were thinking about rising up and rebelling against the emperor, they did something like that. It was just a way to give something to the fans. And so they got caught up in this thing. And there's no difference in this, right? J. Cole gave y'all something to stand on and be proud of, and all of you niggas are turning tail and like, nah, the sport, man. It's for the sport. And I'm hearing Joe Budden and I'm hearing all these other niggas talking that shit. Pusha T comes out and is like, yo, as much as I really want to see
Styles P?
I thought it was Pusha.
It was Styles P.
Okay.
We used to talk about, as the rapper,
I really wanted to see this happen. However, I can never knock a man on having the integrity to stand up and
I'm
swallow
saying this,
his pride.
And this is what I'm saying. I'm saying the same thing as Styles P.
Doesn't sound like
no,
it.
I'm saying
not.
The same
it
thing.
Does not.
I've
not.
Always,
it's
I've
not,
said,
it does not
I've
sound
said,
like you're saying this
I've
at
said
all.
From the mature shit, I get it.
It's not coming off
that way.
But
you're saying you get it, but you don't fuck with it.
You said
you get it, but
the difference in you and Styles P is Styles P said, I wanted to see a beat, but you're starting off, I respect his
his choice, but so the butt is the problem. Everything you say after
you just said Styles P had a butt too, though.
But his butt was as much as I want to see niggas getting a ring and tangle, but I feel like I can never knock a man for having integrity.
So let me put
and
it
you
this
said,
way.
I love his integrity, but, and then you talk about the shit that you hate.
Let me put it this way.
Yeah, go and flip it up.
The fact that he was able to stand tall for what he believed in, like you said, the fact that he showed pure humility, that's the most J. Cole shit. He represents his growth. I'm not going to talk down on that.
You're about to.
No.
You're exactly about to.
The growth. But
here we go.
This is the but.
Here we go.
The things I know he can do. If he did do it.
You're not understanding then. You're still immature to this, bro. If that's what your opinion, that's your stance, then you're not looking at this from a mature standpoint. Stop for a second. Just the fact that you said what he could do, he can still do that, and you still know that he could.
Yeah. I know I can, but again, as a J. Cole fan, we have to defend Cole for the last 15 years.
J. Cole has never asked you to defend him.
I understand, but as a fan, because you're a fan, you love the rapper, you love the music. When you hear people disrespecting the art, you just want to defend the art because you love that art.
And what I'm saying
is... And what I'm saying is by that apology, because a lot of people are low vibration, You just made it harder to defend.
Why are you talking to low vibration people?
That's probably something I need to figure out. That's probably something I need to figure out.
Why are you arguing with them niggas?
That's my biggest problem. My biggest problem now, I feel like he's become a rappers already hit him. Simba just dropped a freestyle. That's what I'm saying. Now you made yourself a target. I guarantee, though, right?
When it comes to defense, right? Like, so if these other like low level ass booty ass niggas try to start taking shots, I think that this nigga will murk all them niggas like real quick. But again, that's not Kendrick.
Now Simba slaps though.
I understand.
But I don't know if he would. I don't know if he's had enough time in the game to kill.
But this is what I'm saying. Simba has so confident. That's why my only problem. The reason why, as a fan, I'm a disappointed is because like, damn nigga, you just made yourself open season. Niggas are just
so
gonna try you.
So what though? Like, why are you worried about that? My nigga, his mistake was not the apology. His mistake was
dropping the song.
He should have been able to see further down the road and know
he's human.
This ain't me. Right. But now you're giving him, when I attack that, now you're giving him credit. And what I'm trying to get you to do is give him credit, period. Right.
I'm not French. I'm giving him credit.
You're not French.
Especially for someone who is you know, been a writer for this nigga for so
long. Yeah, you went on two gay road trips to see this nigga.
Right, like you've been a writer for this nigga for so long, for you to be holding this stance that you hold right now,
there's no upside to this beef for J. Cole. Kendrick and Drake are going to beef, and that's whatever. That's a ridiculous battle.
So that's the thing, too. With more time passing by, I'm starting to, besides all the mature things you guys just said, I do think the Kendrick and Drake beef has some true animosity.
Right.
Unlike him and Kendrick.
Right.
Because back to Joe Budden, you just mentioned, apparently there's some niggas are digging for information.
Right.
Once you start doing that means it's true animosity. So I get all that. I guess I just wanted him to be the undisputed champion. Like, you battle-tested niggas, battle.
But he's not, and he wasn't gonna be. He's not that nigga, and I never thought he was, and you didn't either. Stop. You didn't think he was that nigga. You didn't think
that nigga in what terms?
Okay, so how we talk about LeBron versus Kobe? He's never been Kobe and never will be Kobe.
There it is.
He's more LeBron.
But he was talking like Kobe.
Nah, but listen, so does LeBron.
Right.
No, LeBron never talks like Kobe.
Yes, he does.
Come on, man.
Yes, he does.
LeBron plays the passive game. I always say I'm gonna make the best pass. LeBron plays the passive,
but he also talks smack too.
Right,
I mean, you're LeBron, you gotta talk smack.
And he's Cole, he got to. However, he's not Kobe Bryant.
He's not.
And J. Cole's never gonna be Kobe. He's never been a murderer. He's never been a killer.
Never.
That's not who he is.
But that's not. Is that what we're asking for in the
that's
beef?
What that's y'all what you were asking for.
No, I'm asking for lyrical exercise.
That's blood, my nigga. You want blood?
Lyrical exercise is blood.
Through
blood.
Again, metaphorically, you can't just get out there and lyrically say something. You gotta talk. You gotta diss this nigga. You gotta run this nigga down. You gotta come for this motherfucker. Like, it's
listen
like,
to the words. He said his album was tragic, not trash.
Right.
Why not trash? Why tragic? That's a nice way of saying trash. He was not built for that game, and I don't blame him.
I mean,
it's a stupid game.
Even in it, he said, "Listen, I'm a peaceful nigga, right? Like, but I woke up with if you want to do it, like, I'm really about the peaceful shit. I want to be about peace. But if you guys want to do this shit, I can get on some violent shit. Like,
here's the second question I was going to ask. I asked you what's the upside. Now let's look at what the downside is. What's the downside?
You just lost a rap battle.
Nah, that ain't the downside, my nigga.
Unless if somebody died. Unless if it did get violent.
Yes. But what about 50 Cent and Ja Rule?
Oh, you talking about the downside for Ja Rule?
Okay, tell me about it.
That's the perception, the narrative. But Ja Rule make great music. But again, that's why I'm saying the narrative.
Is Ja Rule, will he ever be considered the greatest anything?
No. No. Was he considered that before the beef?
No, but he had hits.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. That because of the beef with 50 Cent and the narrative that 50 Cent was able to put on him,
right,
fucked his image up.
Right.
And I'm saying that.
So what's the downside for Kendrick or J. Cole if one of them gets Ja Ruled? It could be career loss.
You don't think that apology could be that?
No.
I don't. I think that only for low vibrational motherfuckers who probably weren't J. Cole fans to begin with. I hear a lot of people talk, I'm the biggest J. Cole fan in the world. But this shit here, them niggas ain't really J. Cole fans. If you were, then you would ride with that nigga through whatever his ups and downs, his tribulations. You would be part of that.
You understand where this nigga's coming from.
This was the most J. Cole shit he ever did. As a J. Cole fan.
And why are you mad about him being himself?
Because I just wanted him to... I'm a fan of the sport.
Are you a fan of the sport or J. Cole?
Mm. Both.
Nah, nigga, you're not a fan of basketball. You're a fan of LeBron. You're not a fan of the Lakers. You're a fan of LeBron.
Well, yeah, but I'm a fan of basketball.
Yeah, but you're not a fan of the Lakers.
Not a fan of the Lakers. Okay. I'm a fan of LeBron, but I'm a fan of basketball. So
and you're a fan of rap. You're not a fan of battle rap.
That's part of rap, though.
No, but it's not rap. It's part of rap. And that's not who J. Cole ever was. Nor is it even really good. Most diss records are not even that great. There have been a couple. They're like the best diss records are probably...
Like the Hit 'Em Up, No Vaseline?
And that, Hit 'Em Up, not No Vaseline. Hit 'Em Up is probably the best one. Takeover wasn't bad, though.
Ether?
Ether wasn't bad. There's only been a few, though,
y'all
my nigga.
Y'all gonna make me lose my mind?
That was a diss song?
Yes, it was.
It wasn't good. It wasn't a good diss song because nobody knew it was.
That's what makes it so dope to me.
What about the LL Cool J?
That's what makes it so dope to me. Everybody's partying in the club when this nigga talking about you fucking gonna have, it's gonna be hard to rest with the size of the hole in your chest. Like this nigga's
who
talking.
Who is he beefing with?
I fucking forget who he was.
Exactly. But that doesn't even matter.
But that was definitely at somebody.
I did want to see the sport.
You wanted to see the blood.
I wanted to see the lyrical exercise.
You wanted to see the blood.
You saw it. You saw it.
He buzzed lyrical exercise on every single one of his records.
So
it wasn't that. You wanted to see blood. Just admit it. And that's low vibration.
Metaphorically. I didn't want to see real blood.
You just wanted to see the blood. You don't get to choose if it's real or fake.
Why not?
Because once the blood starts flying, it's flying. And there's no more retaliation. Your excuse is I was retaliating.
Yeah, I guess it's hard for me to believe that shit would have got violent with them two specifically, but with hip hop, you never know.
But that's not my argument, that it would have got violent. My argument is J. Cole bit off a taste of what he had and realized that that was not what he wanted to do and didn't wait. He didn't wait on Kendrick to drop another verse, dissing him back. As soon as he dropped his, he's like, hey, you know what, guys, who out here thinks Kendrick isn't one of the greatest rappers ever, and the fans went crazy. He gave props. He did what he was supposed to do for himself because he felt like in that moment he was putting out the wrong vibrations, and I don't disagree with him.
Nothing's wrong with that.
Again, that would be different. Like if Kendrick came out, hit him back, and then he was like, oh, no, my bad. I don't want none. I apologize for this.
Yeah. You say Kendrick can if he wants to.
He immediately, at the next opportunity and publicly, was like, listen, like P said, I didn't like that shit. I don't like the way it made me feel. And again, if you can't rock with a motherfucker that's true to himself, then I don't fuck with. You can just miss me. Like,
and you know what though, Mac? I thought about it. Maybe the people that are saying this haven't really ever done any real dirt. Because if you've done real dirt before, and I'm not asking anybody to make any confessions on this podcast or say anything that they've done or not done or been a part of, but I promise you though, if you've ever done dirt, it's not something that you can just put away.
Right.
It's not something you can just to put down. And, you know, matter of fact, a Jay-Z song, Gotta Learn to Live with Regrets, that shit is difficult, man. It's hard to put away things that you've seen, especially when they're violent or when they have high consequence or you know you did something that's not part of your character. If you've ever done something seriously done something that's outside of your character and survived it and lived on, I promise you there it's not a year that goes by that you don't flash back to that.
Yeah, and then as a Cole fan, a couple of years ago,
when he was dropping the Offseason, he had an interview with KD, and he was talking about Kendrick and Drake. He was like, yo, I don't even look at them as like competition, because there's going to be a time where I'm not doing this no more, and I would rather foster the relationship.
Right.
Because they're the only two other guys that can relate to me
right.
at that level.
Right.
So like he's said, been saying that.
You
he's,
said he fought Diddy over
for
Kendrick.
Yeah, yeah. He fought Diddy for Kendrick. Like he looked out for Kendrick when Diddy was trying him for the control verse for saying, I'm the king of New York. So he's always been that guy. Like I said, I'm not going to pretend I'm the biggest battle rap fan, but I love when niggas talk shit to each other.
Yeah.
I love it. I go watch Smack. I go watch Hollow and them. I go watch those shits because I just love the fact that niggas can disrespect niggas and just keep it at just the poetry. Obviously, I don't like... Obviously, does it go violent? Of course. But I do love that. I think that is a tier...
Oh, you mad because I'm styling on you.
I think it's a tier in rap.
What you know about that?
It's a tier in rap. Just like a basketball player got to have a jump shot, crossover.
But this is the thing.
A post game. I feel like as a rapper, battle tested is one of
what
them.
What I don't understand, though, is this, right? Like, you're talking about the fact that you want that, right? But then you're saying, you know, these low vibration niggas are these, you know, these niggas that are going to talk about Cole being weak and all of this other shit. Them are the same niggas that take that diss verse where a nigga says something personal to heart, right? Like, they're like, ooh, like, you know what I mean? Like, and they fucking, you know, they own that shit. And to back to what B had said earlier, right? Like, some immature nigga that might be out there, like, you know, listening to this shit. I was that nigga. Like, I didn't listen to no East Coast rap when it was going down, nigga. Like, fuck the East Coast. When it was fucking...
Oh, so you was one of those niggas.
Of course I was, yeah. Nigga. So was half of the other niggas in Cali.
What was your debate? What was your personal battle when Ice Cube went East Coast? You still listen to him?
Well, no. So, again, that he went East Coast before this happened.
Yeah,
so,
no, yeah, but, right. But still, though.
No, I didn't have a problem with East Coast then. Okay. It wasn't until Tupac was like, the West Coast, you know what I mean? Like... The West is the best, and it was the East, you know, all that, all eyes on me.
From a New York nigga. That's right. What's so crazy.
Right, right, right. But again, he's the same type of nigga like Master P. Like, he came, and he seemed like one of us the way he
corrupt.
Did it. You know what I mean? Like, he seemed like one of us. You know, he was a Fillmore, you know, San Francisco nigga, you know what I mean? And then he went, you know, he was fucking around with Digital Underground. And... I liked Tupac when he was fucking conscious, like wearing a dashiki and shit, you know what I mean? And that nigga was, you know, trying to be fucking, you know, insightful to niggas. I fucked with him then. That's the Tupacalypse shit, right? You know what I mean? Strictly for my niggas, all of that shit. I was always with him when every lane he went to. But when that nigga was like, fuck the East Coast, nigga, you think I wasn't fuck the East Coast? Nigga, I didn't listen to that, I didn't hear Biggie's album until I was like 27.
For niggas like J-Mac, J-Cole definitely did the right
and
thing.
When I first heard it, I was like, oh, this not bad. Like, this not bad. But I fucking didn't listen to none of that shit.
Listening to him makes me realize he definitely did the right thing, because niggas now are more like young J-Mac than ever before.
Yeah.
Niggas are like sheeps now.
Yeah.
And so what makes more sense to you now? Let's look at it from that lens, right? What makes more sense in 30 years?
Makes more Hold on.
What makes more sense in 30 years?
Because
J. Cole is like, yo, I'm going to be around in 30 years. I want to be important in 30 years.
And then I still want to be cool with this nigga.
Not even necessarily be cool. I want to have stood for something. I want to be somebody when people look at, they look at the quality of my life, not the quantity of things that I accomplished, right? So 30 years from now, are we going to look at J. Cole as being the guy that started or was part of a beef that turned crazy between him, Drake, and the top rap niggas in the game at
that
the
is
time?
If it did turn crazy.
But why? But there's potential for it. Why even go there? If I know that I'm a legacy nigga, and that's what this is about. This is a brand legacy, right? I'm a legacy rapper. I'm not a fly-by-night, two-hit wonder, you know, whatever's on a radio station right now, artist. I'm a legacy artist, right? I want my name to be in the top five somewhere someday, right? You're saying, well, to do that, you got to battle test niggas. Nah, and he's like, well, yeah, maybe. But the downside is so great. The upside is so little. What I could also be, though, is the nigga that stood for something that really mattered. So that beef you're talking about, that shit don't really matter. Like you said, they're friends. So this beef don't really matter. You know what really does matter? Me telling young people, hey, man, conflict resolution is a big problem in our culture. Here's one way to deal with conflict. Now, it might not be your way. It may not be the best way, but here's a way. 30 years from now, which thing is more important? The nigga that, that won a battle against Kendrick or the nigga that stood up against people who have low conflict resolution skills?
The latter.
Exactly. And so if that's the case, everybody you argue with about what his what this battle did to his career and this nigga can't, he told y'all he wasn't the best, I would say, well, let's give it some years. Let's yeah, wait and look back.
And I personally think as a Cole fan, maybe especially now with all this talk, because of before he dropped the album, he dropped two small documentary volumes called My Delete Later Volume 1, Volume 2.
Right.
And in those two videos, he talks about how the reason why he's even calling the next album The Fall Off is because he's about to just ride off the sunset, enjoy his family, enjoy his life. And kind of like when you make it to the top, you got to fall off, right? You know, even the last song of the album with Trader Truth in Ibiza, you kind of put it all together. Part of me does feel like this moment is a perfect example of why. Yo, if I'm not about to do this for the next 5-7 years, why am I about to even engage in all of this? If I'm really, my plan is to really just give you my last, not necessarily his last project, but probably a project for a long time. Because even in that same apology video, he was like, yo, I don't know how many more of these festivals I got in me. So yeah. that's him letting you know, like, I'm about to take a big ass break. And even he said, I wanted to check off everything I did not do. That's why he went on a feature run. That's why he did that. I guess part of my fandom, I wanted a battle too. That way,
I feel like he's been getting better, right? Like
he said I'm better now than I was.
Right. He's crescendoing his career. Like he
Hall of Fame, but hungrier than the newcomers.
So so the fact that he's at a point right now where he's probably at his best, right? Like he, you know, and he still is not like, okay, I got it to prove something, because that's what we get into, right? Like, I think that's what, especially in our culture, we trying to prove our worth to
the masses,
to the right,
of
ourselves. Right. We want to show out. Like, that's why we got to have the flashy shit, right? We've talked about it many times. Like, as a black culture, that's what's ingrained in us. We got to prove. And here's a guy going, listen, I ain't got to prove nothing, really. You know what I mean? Like, I do it, and that's proof enough. Like, I mean, if the fucking me doing it ain't proof, like, well, I don't know what the fuck else you need. Like, and you just talked about it before. Like, if he's on an album with somebody, he's on a feature with somebody.
Yeah, he murders
them. The majority of the time, he's probably the best on that track. Mm-hmm. That's, we battling right here. We just battled on your song, bro. Like, and I just did you. Like, I didn't do you.
Yeah.
But everybody's checking for my verse on your album, on your shit, right? Like, so, you know, that to me is, I appreciate and respect that more, right, than coming out and fucking getting personal and attacking another nigga and tearing him down to lift yourself up. Because, again, as a culture, that we got too much of that already. We got to get a fuck away from all of that. We got way too much of that in our culture as it is.
Yeah, no, definitely, especially when you look at the culture landscape, we don't need that, especially from these three guys, you know.
I'm glad you. I feel like you're turning a corner, because when you started this,
it's just I'm a fan of rap. Sometimes I just want to see it, bro.
Yeah, like, you should be a fan of this choice because you're a fan of rap, because rap has taken a very dark turn.
For real.
Yeah.
And now, now we're getting glimpses of other things, and you're like, nah, I want the dark. Actually, it's like, what?
What about like the people that say it's rap started off competition? Anyway,
Who cares? Them niggas is low vibrational. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, listeners, we appreciate you guys tuning in once again to the No Nonsense Show. Make sure you go out and check out our website, RareSilence.com, where you can check out all the shows on the network. Make sure you're following us on all of our socials at No Nonsense. Is there anything else, guys?
Nah, that's it.
Shout out show. Okay, keep supporting us, keep interacting with us, and we'll keep bringing the nonsense, because we realize that sometimes people just need to laugh. Till next time.
10% less bullshit than any other podcast. Guaranteed.